I am in household life, he told his mother, I must have a wife, for household life does not mean staying in a house. Real household life means living in a house with a wife. Three words of this verse are very significant. Uha bhava. These words are used to express wonder. Priyavrata Maharaj had taken a vow of renunciation, but accepting a wife and begetting children have nothing to do with the path of renunciation. These are activities of the path of enjoyment. It was a source of great wonder, therefore, that Priyavrata Maharaj, who had followed the path of renunciation, had now accepted the path of enjoyment. Sometimes we are criticized because although I am a sannyasi, I have taken part in the marriage ceremonies of my disciples. It must be explained, however, that since we have started a Krishna conscious society, and since a human society must also have ideal marriages, to correctly establish an ideal society, we must take part in marrying some of the members, although we have taken to the path of renunciation. This may be astonishing to persons who are not very interested in establishing Daivi Varnashram, the transcendental system of four social orders and four spiritual orders. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, however, wanted to re-establish Daivi Varnashram. In Dagvarnashrama, there cannot be acknowledgement of social status according to birthright, because in Bhagavad Gita it is said that the determining consideration are guna and karma, one's qualities and work. It is this Dagvarnashrama that should be established all over the world to continue a perfect society for Krishna consciousness. This may be astonishing to foolish critics, but it is one of the functions of a Krishna conscious society. So this is actually very strong purport. Srila Prabhupada very clearly says what he wants. He very clearly states then what the ideal Krishna conscious society should do. And we may have opinion, we may have some doubts, but ultimately this is the direct order of our Pandaracharya, based on the desire of previous acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So what it is that was done by Priyavrata Maharaj, it was so astonishing. And what actually it is the establishment of Daivi Varnashrama system? What is it for? What is the difference between the Brahmachari Ashram and Grihastha Ashram? Now, these are questions which sometimes, we may have some doubts, or we may not know exactly how to answer, how to apply them. But we can see, Srila Prabhupada, even though as a sannyasi, then not fully in renounced order, but he takes part in marriages. And he was criticized, and somebody doubted what kind of sannyasi now he is. But he explains. What is he trying to do? He is only trying to establish the Krishna conscious society. That's his purpose. And what is the Krishna conscious society going to follow? Daivi Vanashama system. So that means that there will be the four varnas and four ashrams. But we know such system is prevalent even in India, right, for some time it's being followed. But Srila Prabhupada doesn't talk very vaguely about the system. But here he is propagating one ashram. So what is the difference? The difference is the consciousness. He specifically mentions this is for the development of Krishna conscious society. So Daivi Vanashrama system means in the center of the Vanashrama is Krishna. It's Krishna centered society. Now, how we show our devotion to the Lord, how we can perform the activities of the devotee, by engaging according to the varnas and according to the ashrams. It's very simple. And as Srila Prabhupada points out, the ordinary varnashrama is based on the birthright. You are born in Brahmanic family, you are a Brahmana till you die, and your offspring will be Brahmanas no matter what, and you can do whatever you want, but you have to be respected as a Brahmana. You can be the greatest crook, but you must be respected as a Brahmana. That's poverty. That's not poverty. But what is Srila Prabhupada talking about? Establishing a society which is subconscious. So then, we are all trying to perform devotional service. How are we going to perform the devotional service? Based on guna and karma. Like the qualities and the work. So, guna, karma, that establishes the person, where is he situated? It establishes his consciousness. So then he is a devotee. And then he, his nature is to perform certain activities. These activities can be connected to Krishna consciousness. And it does not matter whether he is Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra or whether he performs the duty of brahmachari or grihastha or vanaprastha or sannyasa. There is one condition for it to work well. That one is Krishna conscious. So that to be Krishna conscious, one must be properly situated. One must be doing what he is comfortable at doing. So the duties of the Brahmana, he may be teaching, studying, preaching. So that's as long as he does that and he is properly engaged and he is able to propagate the Krishna consciousness, that's good. But the Kshatriya doesn't have any less important role. He must protect. He must protect the devotees. He must protect the Brahmanas. He must protect all the living entities. And the Vaishya, he also doesn't have any less important role. He must make sure that the prosperity is maintained. Because by the prosperity, we can build new temples, we can propagate the Krishna consciousness. Because everything costs some money. So these things, and the shooters, they're also not less important, because they are engaged in whatever is needed to be done. So everybody is engaged according to their nature, but everybody has the mood of serving. In the ordinary Varnashrama, then the Varnas are very specifically done. The Brahmana, he would not touch the broom in glee. He must be respected. And it doesn't matter what character he may have. No. It is verbal. And that's not good. That doesn't work. In the Vaishnava society, anybody can take a broom, anybody can clean. And those who have the equality, they can worship the deities. And in fact, anybody can worship the deities. Because the worship of the deities, there is one pujari who worship the deities on the altar, and there are hundreds of thousands of devotees right now seeing the arati, and by participation in the arati, they are worshipping the deities that way. So anybody can take part. It is a question of whether you want it or not. But there is no restriction. Now, these are the values, right? So according to one's work and the qualities, then we also need to be engaged according to what the ashrama is. So we have Brahmacharya ashram. So in the Brahmacharya ashram is about what? About the renunciation. And we see Priyavarta Maharaj, when he went through Brahmacharya, and he was trained as a Brahmacharya. It is very important. Because when one is trained as a Brahmacharya, then he can enter the Grihastha. And he will know what to do. Because as a Brahmacharya, then he is trained to be austere, trained to be sensitive, trained to devote relationships. But he is trained to realize that he does not really belong to this material world. So he is trained in detachment from the material world. And when he realizes that there are some attachments which he still needs to address, then the Grihastha ashram may be the way for him to get the realization. But ultimately, what we have to understand that either Brahmachari or Grihastha or Vanaprastha or Sannyasi, it does not really matter. Because if one follows the duties of that particular ashram and follows the devotional process, the process of devotional service, as chanting and hearing, serving the Vaishnavas. So it doesn't matter in which ashram the person, the devotee may be situated, he can go back to God. So if he can remain as a Brahmacharya, it's going to be the easiest point. But as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he cannot pretend to be Brahmacharya and not try to live basically as a Grihastha, have an income, enjoy the money, but no responsibility, no wife, no children. That's not an option. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Grihastha, is meant to live with their wife and children. If he does not live with his wife and children, then he should be brahmachari or he should be vanaprastha. But he should not go on enjoying himself, not making money, enjoying the money, and not having responsibility to take care. The difficulty with that is that he does, as a brahmachari, he works under the authority of the spiritual master, right? So that everybody is under some authority. So he, brahmachari, is directly serving the spiritual master. He is not independent. He must do what he is told. He is just a menial servant. Now, when the brahmachari has other kind of desires, emotions, there is some, he needs some other input. Input which cannot come from the man. Then he will feel dissatisfied in the brahmacharya and he will be looking naturally to association of the Lord. He will look for getting married. So then, this is the time when he must be trained as a brahmachari first. If he wants to be successful vyasa, he must be successful brahmachari. He must be able to control his senses, control his mind, and be able to reciprocate properly with the wife. So to do that, then he is trained. That if he cannot still be satisfied in the brahmachari ashram, then he is grihastha ashram. But grihastha ashram is that he takes full responsibility over the wife and children. And he must be fully dedicated to that. He must understand that he is the active part. And he must take care. So he must provide the facility for the wife to function as a wife. At the same time, he cannot just provide and say, okay, here it is, take it, and now don't say anything. That will not work. He must also be a guide. He is a guru padi. He must lead. So, if that's followed, then the wife has somebody to respect. He is one whom I can follow. And therefore, she will do her duties very well. Out of respect. And because she does it well, he will do his duties well because he is very satisfied with the service. That way, both can work very well together. But if he is not going to associate, he is just provides his money and he wants to do something else, then where is the leadership? Where is the leading? And if there is no leading, how is she going to respect? And if she is not going to respect, then how can she do her duty to the bottom? So then the whole Vyasa Asha will fall apart. Now, the principle of it, you can see how it's falling apart in the whole world. Before, there were families, very united, and more or less, the Vyasa principles were followed even by those who were not in office. It was very common principle. Nowadays, if you have somebody living together without divorce, then it's almost like a miracle, right? Now, sometimes now they don't even get married. They are living just by their partners. They don't know the responsibility, but they don't get the facility, they don't get the enjoyment, anytime sex. As long as I'm satisfied with the senses, then it's good. But if I'm not, I don't want to be responsible. Where does that lead? Srila Prabhupada points out very clearly. Varna Sankara. It's going to be very bad progeny. We have to avoid it. So Srila Prabhupada established, okay, Dai Varna Ashrama system. So even the Grihasthas can live together, but they live according to the rules and regulations of the Grihastha Ashrama. If they can do that, then they can attain the same self-realization as the Brahmacharis by being alone under direct guidance of the Guru. So it doesn't matter if he's a Brahmachari or Grihastha, anyone can achieve perfection in this lifetime. Everybody can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. But it depends on our desire, our decision, how we focus on it. Because that's individual. We may be in the society of great devotees and still not take advantage of the association and think of some nonsense, do nonsense. That's very sad, but it's happening. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us direct instruction what we should do and how we should do it. We should take it very seriously. Very seriously, so that we can, as individuals, go back to Godhead in this lifetime. The opportunity is there. So we have to know what are our duties, what we should follow, what we should do, what we should avoid. And we have to then be eager to educate ourselves in what the duties are. We should not stay ignorant. That when we can follow these duties, when we can understand, we properly educate ourselves, then we should look forward. What we do is, why do I educate? Why do I educate ourselves and myself, right? For what? To associate. That's why the society was established. So to associate together the sadhusanga and to propagate the Krishna consciousness, to be able to spread the holy name in every town and village, we need to cooperate. And based on our nature, because each and every one's nature is different, we can achieve anything. We can spread the holy name in the highest levels of society or in the lowest, everywhere. But then we have to take our part and we have to be willing to cooperate and associate with each other. Then we can have something wonderful, something which Srila Prabhupada is giving us. So this is what we should call, and above that, if we need to or if we want to actually please Srila Prabhupada by spreading the holy name, then we should ourselves be very eager to chant the holy name, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to follow the principles of devotional service, so that we can be examples for others. Then there will be nothing missing in the Krishna conscious society. Everything will be there. Everybody will be enthusiastic. Because the control of the senses will naturally happen. Control of the mind will naturally happen. Then we will avoid doing anything which is not favorable, because we don't want to disappoint anybody. you want to please the political level in his favor of Islam, for Krishna consciousness, for spreading the holy name, for pleasing the Vaishnavas. And then we will associate with the Vaishnavas according to the six loving objects. But we must want, that's the most important thing, we must commit ourselves that that's what we want. If we are unsure, if we are not convinced, then we will have difficulties. Therefore, it is now up to us to pursue the path of devotional service and try to at least to come to the path of Nishtha. So then we can be convinced that the devotional service is the path which can take us back to Godhead this very lifetime, and that we are not going to follow any other path. Srila Prabhupada explains everything in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is nothing which is missing for us to achieve perfection. So that we should be convinced ourselves, we should encourage each other, and try to form the society based on these principles, so that we can only understand. And then, there are no doubts that anybody can perform anything in the society based on being Krishna conscious. So as we said, Srila Prabhupada, now as a sannyasi, he performed miracles, which in the ordinary Varnashrama system, it would be very unheard of, something which not good. But because Srila Prabhupada has a mission and he had to establish the marriages to create the Grihastha Ashram properly based on the rules of the Daivan Ashram system, so he showed an example. So this is something which we have to understand the moods of Srila Prabhupada. We have to understand what he is giving us. We have to understand the affection he has for us. And then, based on that, do our own duties. Not try to do something else or try to be clever and try to get the facility without the responsibility. It will only take us away. When we see that the first devotees, during Srila Prabhupada's time, they were so eager, so enthusiastic, that they they didn't look for the facilities. They looked for the responsibilities. What is there to do that I can do to please Srila Prabhupada? Then, by doing that, the facility is not to come. It may be very humble facilities or maybe more opulent. It doesn't really matter. The focus is on the responsibility. Because we don't want to disappoint our spiritual master. That's the matter. But as time goes, because of the lack of sarasanga, we can see that there is a lack of cooperation. And that's also due to part of education, that we are first looking for what are my facilities. Now first, now give me the room, give me the place, okay, and then I can think of doing some service. Then it's upside down. And then if I have the facility, why should I take up I should enjoy the facility. So that to perform the responsibility, then we will not put so much of a thought in. So we should try to see how we can get properly to be enthusiastic, to perform the responsibility. And this is the purpose of practicing the Brahmacharya life. The Brahmacharya life, Brahmacharya is trained to perform menial services. And he does it. And he is made to understand that anyway you have to do it. So if you do it properly, then you can do it fast, it will be done, and then you will have more time to perform the other activities, whatever you need to do. So the focus and enthusiasm with intelligence. These are the activities of a brahmacharya that he should develop how to perform the menial service. And then when he is training them, when he comes into the grihastha ashram, he does the same thing. He helps in whatever is needed. He's not afraid of helping with cleaning, helping with cooking. He can even help taking care of the child. But he does it because he says it's not an obstacle. It's not a problem. And therefore, if needed to do something, like in emergency, okay, now the pipe is sick, he has to cook. So now he's not freaking out. Oh, what do I do? I need to buy something, or I will live on water and bread or something. No. Oh, I remember in Gurugu, I was cooking for so long, I know this, okay, I'll cook this. And I will cook also for that. So that will keep him very self-confident that he can do all these activities and he will not be that way dependent. But he does that sometimes to please the wife. And that way then both can respect each other. Not to try to exploit each other. Trying to exploit each other, that's the base of Grihamedya Ashram, not Grihastha Ashram. So if the Grihastha understands his duties and he's trained as a Brahmacharya, he can lead the wife towards Godhead. Go back home back to Godhead. And then she follows because she has respect. But so then they live to help each other to achieve the goal, not to enjoy each other. So if these are followed, even the grihasthas or any other ashram can achieve the perfection. But we have to understand where we belong. And then we have to make it very clear to ourselves. You cannot pretend to be somebody else and act as somebody else. You can live here for some time, but you will not be comfortable. And if we are not comfortable in our life situation, there is very less chance that we are going to take up the worship service. So we should, based on study of Bhagavatam, we should understand where we belong, what we should do. And get engaged properly so that we are properly sheltered by Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and ultimately we can find shelter for the seat of Krishna. So, honestly, we have to be honest with ourselves and not being afraid that, oh, I'm doing this duty, so then they will label me not as such. There is no labeling here. It does not matter what duties you do, as long as you do the right duties according to our then Krishna consciousness can flourish. So this is what Srila Prabhupada, in this part, is trying to establish, the proper Krishna conscious society. And we should not forget that Srila Prabhupada also, he defines or he established our Krishna conscious society as the incarnation of the Holy Name. So the Holy Name is the center. All the other activities are subservient to the chanting and hearing. So if we do understand that, if we do understand the mood of Bhagavanga Acharya, then all the other activities what we do will be beneficial for us and for anybody else. Hare Krishna. Any questions? This is mine.
That we want 70% purity, what means we start platform, we can go back to God. So which are the qualities for the Nista platform?
What is what?
Nista.
Nista. You see that the Nista comes after anarthanivriti. So the platform of anarthanivriti is described as the devotee is free of the modern anarchists, of the gross anarchists. The difference, you know, what happens actually on the platform of anarthanivriti is that when the heart is full of anarthas, so then even though we want to perform devotional activities, then when we come to a situation which the anarthas, the seed of desire, start growing the desires, and we are overwhelmed by it. And we have this, I want to do something nice, something devotional, but the senses are so strong that we still fall for something else. I want to, you know, chant japa, but seeing the computer, you know, I get so drawn and I will watch the movie instead of chanting the japa. So there are anarthas. So even though we know this is the time for japa, but still we do something else because we are so overwhelmed by it, and the mind controls our life. So the mind controls the intention. So that is the problem which we are facing when we say no conditioned soul. And there are various levels of conditioning. But you see the devotee, he is willing to purify himself. He is willing to get rid of the anarchy. So then, through the process of Chaitanya Paramarthana, so he works for it. It's association and cooperation and doing his duties and doing what his guru orders him to do. So by performing devotional service, then he is becoming purified. And after a certain stage, then the heart is now free from the anarthas to such an extent that he is able to control his mind by the intelligence. So then the same devotee, now after some time of perfect devotional service, when he gets purified, then seeing the computer, he doesn't get attracted to it, he doesn't get caught, or he doesn't think that I'm going to watch something, or I'm going to do, play something. This is not for example. So the attraction is not there. Why? Because the intelligence can control the mind. So that's the state which happens know, in a state of anarcho-liberty. So, and the effect over the practicing devotee, it's immense. Before, whatever we want to do, we are abused, we are controlled by the mind, and the mind abuses us. It abuses the intelligence, it makes the intelligence to not think how to make the nonsense. And we feel so disgusted. And we have we don't know what to do. So we could completely help us. But when we can control what we do, and when we follow the intelligence, and the intelligence follows Guru Shastra, then suddenly we become very confident. We see, I can control my life. I can perform devotional service whenever I want. I want to chant, I'm going to chant. Nothing can disturb me. I want to be with the devotees, and necessarily the devotees. I can focus, nothing can disturb me. If that thought, some thought may come, but those thoughts are so weak that we can easily, by intelligence, not subdue them. Like your great young Acharya, now he speaks. Before he became, you know, the great Acharya, he was a king. So he enjoyed, he had everything for his enjoyment. But then when he renounced everything, he became, you know, great Acharya. And then as a great Acharya, he composed verses. And in one of the verses, he said, when I think of sex, I spit on the thought. So what does that mean? The thought may come. We cannot stop thinking. But the question is, what do we do with the thought? And that's based on the heart. If the thought is connected to the anarthas and you start developing the thought farther and farther, thinking how to get it done, then we fall off. But Yamunacharya says that, you know, when he thinks of such a system, of the thought. So, through that intelligence, he knows how to do it. So he can easily control it. He disregards the thought. So it comes in, goes out. No effect. That's the state of anarcho-liberty. And because of the seeing how great impact that on our life, then we decide, this is it, I'm convinced. There is no other way how I can become beautiful. I don't want to follow any other system. I don't want to do anything else. This person of devotional service is the one, nothing else works. Really. So the Mishnah is the conviction that the instructions of the Guru Sadhu Shastra, of the founder Acharya, these are the ones that when, if we follow them, we can very easily go back to the world. The conviction. And there is no way that I don't want to go back. Nobody can convince us. The devotee of the platform of Mishnah, he may not be, you know, shastrically, you know, very elevated. He may not be necessarily able to defend himself from some atheistic ideas. He may not be able to argue according to the Shastra or the details and everything. But nobody can convince him to take up another process. That's why the process of Nishtha, or the plot of Nishtha, is very safe. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from the plot of Nishtha, the devotee progresses really fast. Because there is no effect. The attachment for the desire to be here is gone. And the view, which may still remain there, by the process of the devotion service, they also go there. So it is the platform which we should be looking for? We should be looking for that, yes, I am here, I am part of society, I am performing devotional service. Why? Because I want to. And why I want to? Because I am convinced that no other system, no other process, no other society can give this result. Then we can fully surrender. And then we can fully understand what is the mission of the truth.
Question to this. So when a devotee reaches the platform of Nishtha, where you're saying they have this conviction and they advance very quickly, does that mean that these thoughts, these types of thoughts, unwanted thoughts, will not enter the mind anymore also?
See, the thoughts may enter. Like in the case of Yamunacharya, he says many things, so it may be there. But what is he going to do with it? When a conditioned person, a conditioned man, goes on the street and he sees like a half naked woman, you know, beautiful body, what is he going to do with it? Start thinking how to, you know, abuse her for his own purposes. Now, if he has self-realized suffering, Shukaran Goswami, he goes around, he is naked, and he goes around naked woman. They are not even thinking, and he's not thinking about that they should not even talk, or they should have anything to do with it. So, he may see, but he actually doesn't see, he doesn't know what to do with it. He is so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that that doesn't interest him at all. So then, that's the platform of the Nishtha, the thought may come. You, when we have the anarthas, and the anarthas are, the heart is beautiful, but there are still some. Now, seeing some object of, for enjoyment, we can very easily, by thought, something, you can just look at it. No, this is not what. I have experienced many times. My guru told me, I had seen many people, I have experienced for myself, forget it. It's not for me. And again, you get absorbed in what you are supposed to. But if the anarthas are strong, so then you start thinking, oh, this is, it looks nice. I can think about, anyway, I'm not enjoying it, so I can let the thing go going on. But because of the process of thinking, feeling, and willing, we get caught up in it. And when we let ourselves think about it, very soon we find ourselves feeling it. So that when you see the comment, you start remembering past, and you start, you know, imagining, you know, what to do, how to do, and this, that. And then it's very difficult to control it at that moment. And when you come to the platform of not thinking about like willing, okay, I will enjoy, then it's basically no way to go back. You will, you already decided that you are going to enjoy. And the mind won. The intelligence has no power to control it anymore. So we have to be very careful. When the thought comes, we should by intelligence understand this is not good. Now, Guru Sabashastra says we should not do it. Forget it. I am busy with something else. And that way you can remain here, you can remain a saint. Not going up, down, up, down. So then the dualities will not touch you. Some, oh, this is pleasure, oh, this is not suffering. No, does the platform, you know, when the devotee on the Nishta, then he experiences. And that's what becomes so great for him. He never experienced it before. Until then, whatever success wanted, he went for it. He had no control. Like somebody who smokes. Now he smokes, he's addicted, he knows that. But when you tell him, no, why do you smoke? Because I don't. And then he asks him, so if you want, can you stop? Of course, anytime I want. And then, so stop for now. Stop for a week. I don't want to. They are cheating themselves. They know it. But it's going on. And if he would be able to control himself, he will be so grateful. But he cannot. No, he has to put up the image of somebody who is not. So he cannot say, I'm doing something, I don't want to really do it. But no, I'm enjoying it. I'm happy. And he is not. That's the facade which the people put on. And that's the suffering. So the devotee doesn't have to put it up. The devotee can be actually who he is. And then he can be really happy. No example? Yes.
In the community, like we now in Mariapur, it's a big community, and so I'm wondering if somebody has a responsibility if we see what we see nowadays here, compared to the nobodies, not so many of the times I know how they listen to the radio, Mariapur TV, but many, as if they could come here. So somebody has a responsibility, so maybe they are by their own, they don't have maybe a wooden get in support. So someone has this responsibility for
yes.
This situation or
see, there are and there must be people responsible now for the situation, but ultimately the responsibility lies in our individuals. If you want to follow somebody who can take responsibility over you, then you can very easily attain the goal the person is trying to show you. So now we have to first of all come to this platform that yeah we want to actually follow. We want to follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Now we want to give up our conditioning, our anarthas, our thinking that the way which I grew up, the way I know that's the best and everything else is just hogwash. No. We have to learn new things. We have to learn to live differently, different situations, with different devotees, follow different ways. And then we can actually be able to be part of the society. But if we come here and then being I live alone the whole life, I will live here alone, and I'm here only because everything is so cheap. But I don't follow my Western culture, I don't care what whoever says what, I will wear what I want, go where I want, do, be clean or don't take bath, it doesn't matter. I do whatever I want. So then how can we experience the ultimate Shri Prabhupada trying to give us. Because even the process of devotional service, then when we become on the platform of come to the platform of self-realization, then yes, no rules and regulations may apply to us. But before that, by the following the process of rules and regulations, in the process of bhakti, the sadhana bhakti, by the sadhana bhakti, then we are elevating ourselves. That's how we come to the platform of Krishna. So, and this is what the society works for. Just how to make her very enthusiastic to follow the rules and regulations. So, we say rules and regulations, but it should not be that, oh, we have to do this, and we cannot do this. Then, it's very difficult not to get into it. In fact, the life in the society should be very joyful. Every day should be a festival. Now, so then how can we do it? We can learn all these things, how to associate, you know, how to, you know, get the realization by associating with each other. And then how do we associate with each other? Create, you know, opportunities. When there is any samskara for any child, the whole society can take part in it. Now, there are many children, you know, or any festival, just any festival that the society can get together and decorate the place, you know, do things together, because it's going to be, you know, worshipping Vaishnava or worshipping of Lord. But everybody takes part in it. This is the wonderful feature of the, you know, society Shri Prabhupada gave us. We can do things together. But the trend, the modern trend is we should separate. Before, there was, it was very common, the joint family. And in the joint family, then the children were very nicely brought up. Because they could maybe exploit or, you know, use their parents. They could say, you know, if they want something, they go to, you know, the mother, something else to the father, and they know where to go to. But when there's a joint family, you know, they cannot play it very well. And there is always somebody going to say, no, this is the nonsense, they have to do this way, and they have to follow. So somebody always supervises. And that's really the big thing. And this is what brings them ultimately, not the shelter. They are going to be, you know, satisfied with the level of what they understand. So then they will value them. And their children will be also brought up the same way. But when you separate, when you have just the, you know, husband and wife taking, you know, taking care of children, then the child and the parents, they have a lot of affection, but they also have a lot of attachment. And due to the attachment, then the child knows how to, you know, which button to push, when and how, what to do, to get what he wants. And the parents, many times, cannot say no. Because, you know, if I say no, then you don't like me. And so then they use it, but because of that, then they become very independent. And because of independence, they don't really feel ashamed. They must do everything for themselves. But the joint family system, you know, it works very well because there are many children, associations, and just naturally it works out. So we should take opportunity of it and then try to, you know, take part more in association among ourselves. But it should be that, first of all, that I want to, and not second, how to do it. Should be, the outcome should be that we are happy. It should be a festival. And then anything can be followed. You know, the festival started by one Lord. So when you wake up just to see the Lord, it's a festival. Because you want to. And then being there for the darshan, and being there, and then with the children, and then train the children how to see the Lord, how to do, how to associate the devotees. It's such a great opportunity. And from how we teach the children, we can learn so much ourselves. This is, that's what we are supposed to do, not to aim for. We should try to, you know, as you said, when we have a big society, in my book, in numbers, yes, but then sometimes just look, if for a problem, some problems are happening very terrible. You see, that not always you find everybody participating in the progress. But Shri Prabhupada also wanted the temple in the center. So even if Vyasa should have the deities, but when there are some problems happening, then they should be on the main temple. It's very well associated. And when there is some problem, like a samskara, so then the other Vyasas should be very eager to participate and help to create it. It should not be just one, like a program for one person or just one family. That's the time when we can come to know each other. We can properly associate. We can share our realizations. And who benefits the most? The child. Because the samskara is successful. So then, the samskara protects the child from becoming Varma Sankara. So we do our duty. We raise questions. And it can be done in a nice way. It doesn't have to be done. You have to, you cannot. But yes, the mother is somewhat responsible, you know, to take up the part and to create enthusiasm, you know, in the society to participate in it. Because if there is no enthusiasm, why should I go? What's that for? So then you get the desire, you know, you get the socializing, which, you know, especially for the girls, is very important. But the socializing is based on Krishna consciousness. It's not that, you know, you need to go in the evening, you know, to the courtyard and then just talk a lot. You don't have to do that. You can actually just say, and then, you know, talk Krishna consciousness. What's the center today? So today is, you know, okay, this wife, or this child, or, you know, Lord in this spot, and that can be whole for personal basis. So the responsibility now lies in the leaders to create the enthusiasm, create the desire, yes, I want to be part of it, I want to, you know, create the festival. And then we can experience something which we may be avoiding. We are trying to avoid association because, oh, I see him and not, I think like this, or he is my enemy, or he is this, he is that. And then we are really depriving ourselves from, you know, wonderful association. But if we can put this aside and try to associate with the devotee as a Vaishnava, so even though I may not like him because I don't know him much, I don't know who he is, but I think he's proud and he's envious and okay, no, and therefore I'm not going to do it more. But when we get together and when we see how he behaves, we may completely change our opinion. And then we may become great friends. So we should not stop protecting ourselves not from the association. We should not be building like a barrier. Oh, this is my private house and nobody can step in. I don't want anybody to see what I'm doing. It's like that. We should open up. You see, like in Braj, in the villages, that during the day, all the houses are open, the doors are open. Anybody can enter. They have nothing to hide. They might not succeed. And if there is opportunity and somebody can come, they will be very grateful, they will be very happy. Whatever they have, they offer at least some water and some sleep. And if it's happening that they are cooking, they will offer whatever are cooking. They are eager to succeed. Also to go very eager. Then everything will work. Hare Krishna. Jai Grandarachana Bhagavatam ki. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Nidai Gaur Bhavanam Deva.